I thought you'd cycled from London to Wales. I was like,
yeah,
what?
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's what he did. Cycled.
Yeah, no, he did cycle from London to Wales.
Wait, and what? Then...
Everybody, and welcome to another exhilarating episode of Somewhere in Between, the AIT podcast brought to you by the Royal College of GPs. I'm Anthony, and I'm back with Johannes, Hatim, and Mira for another quite special episode, I think, which is going to be one of at least two part series, kind of welcoming all new trainees into general practice. This is going to be going out in August during a period where we're going to be running a load of celebratory activity under the banner of Celebrate. And this is just one part of a series of events online, obviously, social media content and loads of videos, which will be hopefully providing an introduction to new trainees, as well as celebrating the experience of all trainees and the amazing contribution that AITs make to general practice. So for this first part of this special series, we're going to be talking about why general practice, what are the things that made us want to be GPs, and sharing some reflections of happy memories from our training experiences so far. So we're all at kind of different stages. I'm nearly at the end, finally. Not that training's been bad, but it's definitely feeling like the right time for a transition. And now there's a church bell in the background. Enjoy that, everybody. It's 6 p.m., that means. But yeah, so I'm coming towards the end of my training. Johannes and Mira, you've coming just towards the end of your first year of training. And Hatim, you're basically now finally done with hospital medicine with your last hospital job. So yeah, I think we probably all have had quite different memories so far. I think Johannes and Mira, as you come towards the end of your first year, it's been a really weird first year to be in GP training. Have you got how have you found it?
Absolutely. This is not how I had pictured ST1 of GP training to go, I guess. But it's been an interesting year for me generally, I suppose. I started GP training, I got married, I moved into a new flat, and then lockdown happened. So it's been a bit of a roller coaster of a year for me. But being a trainee in London, I've really enjoyed it. I've really enjoyed working in primary care. It kind of confirmed to me that this was the training sort of course that I wanted to go into. How about you, Johannes?
I mean, it all started off very normally. I did geriatrics as my first placement, and I did geriatrics during my F1 year as well. So it kind of felt quite familiar and was quite a nice, gentle way to start training. And then, yeah, as you say, coronavirus happened around the time that we started, around the time that I started my GP rotation. But actually the way that my practice structured it, I ended up doing mostly face-to-face. And so I think I've actually had a relatively normal experience of GP compared to some of the other trainees. So yeah, not what I expected, but I think it's been a good experience so far.
And Hatim, you're nearly done. You're nearly there, especially after being in a prolonged A&E experience as well. How are you feeling about the prospect of never having to work potentially in a hospital again? Or will you want to work in a hospital again?
Well, I'm not going to rule out working in a hospital again, but I will say I just can't wait. I'm counting down the shifts. I've got 7 more shifts left and then I am out of there. And I'm just looking forward to actually having a consolidated year, maybe longer, but a consolidated year in general practice to actually be able to spend that sort of continuous time there. I think the placement that you have as an ST1 or an ST2 is great. Obviously, usually it's tied in with some sort of other part of clinical medicine. So usually you're doing clinics elsewhere. So it's never really a full-time general practice job. And the 6 months goes so quickly. I mean, in some cases, even 4 months. And before you know it, you're coming to an end and you sort of know that you're only at that practice for a short period of time. So I'm looking forward to actually being a part of a practice for a long period of time, enough to actually do some sort of quality improvement work, really get a feel for how the practice works and what the patient demographics are like and patient load is like. And it feels like a long time coming, really.
Yeah, I mean, I I had a bit of a weird experience when I finished hospital medicine. I was doing pediatrics and then ended up, because I was going into doing my fellowship, so then had like a month off between that job finishing and my fellowship starting. So it, yeah, it felt like a real end of a really significant part of my life to then go into a year of not really doing any, well, doing no clinical work for a year. And then like at the end of that, the prospects of coming back into clinical medicine was quite a daunting one. But again, it's been one of the real testaments to why I love general practice is that the surgery that I'm at have always been, were incredibly supportive. It was a really nice induction getting back into the flow of seeing patients. And yeah, I swiftly remembered all of the things that I really loved about GP, and the practice that I've been at has just been a really great experience to kind of finish off my final bit of training and prepare for those next steps, whatever they might mean. So I think in terms of like my reasons for getting into GP, I kind of like highlighted some of them within that conversation, was that kind of three main things for me. One has been, one was all about variety. And so not just kind of the undifferentiated problems that you come into your consulting room every day, which are like genuinely really interesting and always posing new challenges, giving you the opportunity to learn new things. But also kind of the variety in the experiences and opportunities that you can have outside of that consulting room as well. The four of us are testament to that. We're doing this podcast. We are at reps at RCGP. There's loads of stuff that I saw that people could get involved with from a really early stage in their career, which would give them different skills. And I feel like for me, coming towards the end of my training, that's kind of my biggest reflection back, is that I've learned loads from being in the consulting room. My clinical skills have developed definitely, my communication skills, my ability to work effectively in a person-centered way with patients. But I think outside of the consulting room, I've also been able to kind of flourish as a person because of the additional opportunities that general practice brings, and because I found a really nice community, not just amongst AITs, but in the wider GP community as well, who've really helped me develop, given me access to opportunities, to mentoring and learning opportunities, which I feel do definitely exist in other specialties. But for me, it's always just felt like such a perfect fit since I started, which has been a really nice thing. And hopefully lots of other people have that same experience as well.
I mean, what I will say, and I don't know if anybody else had this experience, was that I never wanted to do GP. And I think that's a thing that maybe some people who are listening kind of, it resonates with. I think in medical school, I remember being sat in a lecture theatre and our community block lead came and said, actually, over 2/3 of you in this room will end up in general practice. And I remember the uproar in the lecture theatre. I was like, absolutely not. I want to do this. I want to do that. And I was with the dissenting crowd for sure. And I thought, no, I don't know if that is for me. And I did a GP job in F2 right at the time we had to sort of decide on next steps. And for me, I think at the time I made the decision to do core medical training and ended up in London as a result of that and finished CMT. And I realized that actually wasn't for me. And I think coming into GP has been a real sort of growth process, really. And I guess it's coming to realize what it is you want. And as Anthony said, it's about the experiences and it's about the opportunities. It's about the people you meet. And I think through the course of training, what I've realized is that maybe what your initial goal will be right at the beginning has to adapt and change along the way, depending on what suits you at the time or what life circumstances may be thrown at you. So I finished CMT, had a plan of going traveling, seeing the world pre-corona times, but then ended up doing a locum job in palliative care for a year as a registrar, and really loving it and really, really enjoying it. But what I found I enjoyed the most about all of that was speaking to the people in the hospices, liaising with the community teams, kind of, although I really enjoyed working in the hospital and on the wards dealing with those patients, I would always yearn to kind of find out what had happened to them afterwards. And I knew the people that I could call and speak to about that would be their GPs. And, you know, I would say every single GP I spoke to was lovely about these patients because they really cared that someone else was taking an interest in their patient and could update them on maybe what had happened in secondary care that they hadn't heard about. And I think that's what cinched it for me. And I thought, fine, I'll apply for it and I'll see how I go. And I was lucky that the first 6 months was GP. So I was thrown into GP from August. And I finally thought, I found my place. This is it for me. But I know from speaking to other trainees who may have done different things before they started general practice, or even they decided to do general practice from F2, didn't actually have a primary care job in ST1, or it was later on in their sort of rotations, and they were really nervous. And I think that's normal, because it's part of that uncertainty, isn't it? Because I think we do this many years in medical school, you do 2 years as a foundation doctor, and then you're kind of expected to pick what you want to be for the rest of your life. And I just don't think that works for everyone, maybe for some very lucky people out there. But what I like that primary care has given me is that opportunity of choice. Does anyone else feel sort of the same way?
So my experience is similar to yours, Mira, in a sense that I really enjoyed my GP placement as a medical student. And that's the first time I sort of really experienced general practice, really. You know, as a final year medical student, where you actually get to start seeing patients independently. And I think that's the biggest thing I took from it, was actually being able to make independent plans, being able to manage your patients independently, being able to have that control. Now, of course, as a final year medical student, you had your GP who would make sure they see every patient afterwards, or make sure they check what happens afterwards. But I really love that sort of autonomy that you have as a general practitioner to really practice the way you want to practice to some extent. And really, you get to sort of, and like you said, get to follow up your patients after you see them initially, get to see what happens to them afterwards, and get to have that continuity of care. And I think for that, for those reasons, it makes it really unique. But I was a bit of a lost soul in the sense that I applied to general practice, psychiatry, CMT. And for me, it was really the application process that made me think about what I really wanted to do. And I've always been the sort of person where if you have a specialty that you really love to do, go and do it, and absolutely do everything you can. But if you like a bit of everything, if you like variety, if you don't want to have a career where you just see kids, or don't want to have a career where you just see elderly people, or don't have a career where you're always in theater, if that's not for you, then general practice is the one, because you're literally going to be seeing a different case every time. I have never done a GP job as an F1 or F2, so was really nervous when I did my first GP job as an ST2. And that can be quite scary, because you don't really know if you're going to enjoy it or not. And you've essentially tied yourself to a career choice to some extent. But at the same time, I think it's you know, as long as you sort of give it time and you sort of identify what you want from it, and general practice is so flexible in a way you can practice it, you can make it work for you. And I think that's what's brilliant about it, the specialty.
I was really surprised when we started our VTS in South London, and you know, looking around the room, I expected the majority of people to be people who'd chosen GP as their first choice after foundation. And there were so many, we had urology registrars, ITU registrars, people from all kinds of different specialties. And I think GP works really well as a kind of, you almost come home, you kind of almost explore the things that look exciting to you and that maybe seem like a passion. And then you kind of come home to GP. When you realize how many advantages it has, and that actually maybe you want a bit of flexibility in terms of the patient groups that you see, or the procedures that you do, or just your day-to-day, or maybe you have some other interests on the side that you want to tie into it. And it is just so flexible that you can wrap so many different aspects of a career into GP, and also wrap that around the rest of your life and make it fit around your life. So I think, you know, I think whatever you decide to do is your first choice of specialty. Your experience is never wasted if you decide to come to GP afterwards, because it really builds on all of those skills that you get from whatever specialty you've tried before.
Yeah, I completely agree with you, Yanis. I think having done a bit of a background in medicine and then palliative care has really, really helped sort of those aspects of general practice, especially in COVID times. You know, I've really been able to kind of work with the partners in the practice, build on sort of knowledge that I have and help share that with others and nurses, especially when we've been dealing with patients in nursing homes and our more elderly population. And I really feel grateful that I have that sort of rooted knowledge in that instance. And I think the other thing that you said was really interesting. You're right. In our VTS cohort, there were people who have come from all different walks of life. Now, I remember when I was an F1 and F2, I remember looking at my colleagues, don't know if you guys all felt the same, and you think, yeah, I'm part of this motley bunch crew of people. Everyone's probably going to end up doing different things and be in different places, but we're in it. We're at the bottom of the ladder together, and we'll go, you know, do horrible night shifts and we sometimes all right shifts, and you'll go out together and experience holidays together. And that was great. And then I went into core medical training, and I really felt like I stuck out a bit like a sore thumb. I just thought, I don't really fit in here. And maybe that's probably what triggered me to want to have a change of career. And then going into this VTS of GP training and looking around and maybe not necessarily identifying myself as this big whole part of everyone who's very similar, but actually what made us all similar was that we were all so different. We'd come from very different walks of life, but we wanted this same goal. And we all really cared. And I think as a VTS group that Johannes and I are both in, the ST1s, we've been really disparate in our training in terms of location and jobs. And with COVID-19, all of our training has obviously been more online focused, but we've still remained close as a sort of despite all of that. And that sense of community is absolutely something that I really treasure being a GP trainee, which I don't think I necessarily felt before.
Yeah, I think it's just so true that it's a really, really special part of GP training. And I'm sure it does exist in some specialties in some areas of the country. But I think by and large, we just have such a positive experience of training because we're brought together. And a lot of the focus is on building that community amongst your local VTS group or wider than that in your area or nationally, hopefully, is what we're kind of trying to do as well. But I think, you know, especially like the memories that I'll really take away from the last 4 years are around those friendships that I've built with my colleagues that I've met through VTS. Like when I got married, a huge number of people from my VTS ended up getting invited. We've been on holidays together. We've like, you know, just bonded so well. And I think, again, loads of us are from really different backgrounds, different experiences and skills mix, but we just had all naturally kind of felt like we didn't ended up in the right place at the right time together. And, you know, I've seen the similar thing happen in then subsequent years coming through below me, like as the new intake of ST1s come every year, you gradually see people like finding their feet, building their own like little network amongst their own year group. And then beyond that as well, throughout the other ST2s and ST3s. And it's just really, it does feel like for me, like a real family. And I think that's just been such a really nice thing and something that I'll definitely take away from GP training. Hopefully when COVID settles down, we'll also be able to start having like residentials again, which just like literally had some of the like best, not even weekends, they are weekdays. So you get to go away and have a nice time during the week when you should normally be at work on your study leave. But those residentials were just like so, so good. Like we used to stay away for a couple of nights and we'd like take on some of the responsibility for organizing like workshops based around people's like hobbies and skills. We did stuff around like, we did one on wine tasting, someone did one on geocaching, one on photography. Like, you know, these are, it's just really nice opportunities to get to know people, build up those relationships. And after training finishes, yes, some people move away to different areas, but you still stay in touch. And a lot of people do end up working locally. So those are networks that you, you know, continue to take with you. And whenever I speak to like GPs who are, you know, 5+ years in their career, they're all still in touch with people from their VTS group. And so I think that's something that everyone who might be starting GP training now, who's listening to this, really does have to look forward to. I think that's, you know, it comes really back to relationships, and it really helps you get through some of the harder bits of training as well. If you're like struggling with a difficult job or revising for exams, just having people that are going through exactly the same stuff as you at the same time is just really, really good.
I think building on that idea of communities, I think there's something about GPs and GP trainees that naturally kind of inclines them towards community building. And there are so many kind of sub-communities aside from the VTS groups that you will find yourself forming. There are so many opportunities to join you know, research networks or societies or associations, and as an academic trainee I have my academic GP VTS as well, so that's another VTS scheme that I have in addition to the standard one that I have with Mira. And it's another really, really fascinating little community that gets together every month or so, and it's just really nice to have all of these different pockets of experience and support. And that's something that I think is quite unique to general practice.
Really echoing what you said there, Johannes, is exactly what I was going to say in terms of community. It's that community feel that you have as a GP trainee, which is very unique. And I think you're just so well protected as well by your program directors, by the schemes in general, to be able to make sure you have your, you know, half day a week of teaching, which is very important, as well as the away days, the residentials, the school trips, as I like to call them. You know, those sort of things are just great. You don't have them in any other training program. I've never seen any of the other trainees talk about that. So, I mean, why would you not want to be a GP trainee if you make training such a rewarding or such a fun experience for people? It's only going to have a more positive effect on people actually getting through their training program, because there's a lot of, you know, difficult stuff as well. It's not all great. There's a portfolio can be a bit of a bane at sometimes. Of course, the exams are difficult and the fees and things can be a problem as well. But you need these, you need that sense of community to be able to get you through it all. And I think that's the most important thing.
Yeah, definitely. And also, I think, you know, as GP trainees, you're in a bit of a unique position where your training program is actually really short. It's 3 years with, although it may be set to change in the future, but currently stands at, you know, 18 months of primary care and 18 months of doing hospital jobs in various rotations. There's no other training scheme that sort of compresses or you know, wants you to get through all of that. And then at the end of it, you are your autonomous, independently practicing general practitioner. And I think the really nice thing about this training program is that I don't feel that it just throws that pressure at you away. You're always aware that that's the thing. At the end of 3 years or 4 years, or depending if you have a career break or you're less than full time, or however flexible you want that journey to be, they are wanting to equip you with the skills so that you can feel you can be that independent practitioner, but you are working with a network of colleagues and that you are not sort of marooned there, isolated out on your own. And that's why, you know, as a trainee, it's been really fascinating to get involved in National Committee, be involved with seeing what things are happening at a college level, but also from talking to my supervisors and other people that I work with about primary care networks, about CCGs, about how general practice works in general, really, because I think when you work in a hospital or as an F1, F2, I definitely didn't grasp or appreciate how it's all set up and how it does work. And as Johanna said, you know, different communities of where you can get involved, whether it's from sort of a work-oriented level or from more of a management leadership education type level. I think the other thing that I sort of wanted to touch on that I really learned in ST1 that I haven't particularly done much of in my training before becoming a GP is actually really using support, the support that you're given. And by support, I sort of mean, yes, that of your colleagues and your peers, but also of your supervisors, of your training program directors, and being really knowledgeable of what's out there to help you as a trainee. I think COVID-19 has been that thing that's affected everybody to varying degrees, but has led a lot of people to be shielding, to be redeployed, to really look at kind of maybe the jobs that they or roles that they were in and whether they had to change that or become less than full time as to what suited their family circumstances. And actually that support is available. And I know pretty much in every induction you're told, if there's an issue, please raise it. But there is a sense of not wanting to raise those things. But as a GP trainee, I've always felt really, really encouraged and supported to make those decisions and generally have positive outcomes at the end of it. I think we all recognize that sometimes things aren't perfect and we don't live in a system where everything happens as the way it should. But I think, and hopefully Anthony, you'll agree with me on this, is that the college really wants to listen to the views of trainees and really sort of build upon some of the work we've been doing, but also recognize that there are needs for some changes and how we can support trainees all the better for the future as well.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I think the college, I think statutory education bodies are all increasingly coming to be better at active listening. And I think that's something that might not necessarily have happened in the past, but, you know, just over the last few months during COVID, we've seen huge changes to things like the exams, which we've spoken about many times before. I feel like that's been a huge learning process for everyone involved. And I think on the side of whether it's the college or Health Education England or others, have recognized that actively listening, engaging with trainees is something that is a, you know, always an issue that needs to be improved upon. But I've seen definite progress being made at pace in that area over the last few months. And from a trainee point of view, I really do feel that actually GP trainees are very powerful as a group. And I think over the last few months, again, I've come to recognize that when you get people to unify together and have that sense of community, actually they're able to achieve a huge amount. And again, we've seen that happen in situations like the exams over the last few months. And I think it's really important for trainees coming into training now to kind of hold on to that actually, if you do have an issue, you want to see something change, you're in a really good position to be able to act on that throughout your training. I'm obviously biased, but I'd say that becoming a rep, whether that's an AIT rep at the RCGP, whether that's a HEE rep, a BMA rep, actually you're in a really powerful position to help unify trainees locally to bring about change positive to your training and to the wider profession as well. So I think that's a really nice part of general practice, is I've actually seen that trainees can have a huge influence and not just on their own training, but on the wider profession as well. So I think that's something also that's really special about GP training.
I think the fact that you're less isolated makes that a lot easier. Having training programs where you've got multiple other trainees with you and having these structures in place, like the committees that exist, communities that exist, just makes that whole process easier. So if you are seeking to get involved, please do, because there's always room for more help, more support, and for us to do more in these areas, because we want to make this experience of being an AIT, a GP trainee, the best it can be.
Yeah, and I think we spoke about this last week, but I also think, we've spoken about all coming from different ranges, different backgrounds with different experiences, but I guess particularly on the issue of background, and we referenced this in the community talk in a previous episode, but increasingly it's recognised that diversity is really important and something that should be valued and celebrated by organisations like the college. And so we know that increasing numbers of international medical graduates are coming into GP training. And so to all of you who might be listening to this as well, I think it's a really great time to be joining GP training. The college is doing loads of active work to help improve your experiences and help address some of the specific needs that international medical graduates have when they join, a completely new healthcare system, working in a new setting. That transition is a huge one, and one that we do need to be doing more and more to help support those trainees. And so now's a great time to be joining, because you can help influence some of that change.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it's also one of those things where all the trainees are really enthused for us to come together, given COVID-19. All of us haven't met face to face in months, have we? But it's actually been a really nice part of, every fortnight or week to catch up with you guys all spread through London to kind of keep up to date with what's going on. And then from sort of other activities that the college and other schools are doing in terms of webinars and things, it really now has been the chance where you can connect with trainees from all across the nations, the four nations, and realize that you can attend meetings and can attend all of these other things from home, which I think will be a way that things will continue. We recognize, obviously, a lot of this activity at the moment, especially the four of us are all trainees from London, but it is important to hear the voices of trainees from everywhere else. And that's what we will hope to do in our future sort of podcast episodes, from speaking to trainees who have had different experiences, as everyone else has sort of mentioned about possibly working in rural settings. We've spoken to a defence trainee and various other episodes to come. But I guess in terms of looking at GP as a whole, I never thought I would be here 6 years ago, but boy, I'm really glad that I am now.
Yeah, I totally. I think it's a really exciting time to be becoming a GP. I think, just throughout COVID, we've seen massive progress being made, loads of innovation going on. It's a really exciting time to be becoming a GP. And I think training is going to change a lot over the coming years. And I think it's just, there's a lot of opportunity and new opportunities always coming up that even we won't have had access to, that people now coming into ST1 will probably have access to during their GP training.
Yeah, and also I think a top tip from us all is, if you're not sure about portfolio, if you're not sure about a hospital placement, if you're not sure about anything, just ask and put that question out there. Your VTS groups have people with the wealth of experience, and sometimes it can be daunting to try and speak to the training program director or a consultant, but you know, the people in the year above you will have a good idea of what's been going on, or at least can try and point you in the right direction. I definitely speak to me and Johannes when we first started this whole process as ST1s back in sort of October time, and not having a clue about the structures of how any of these panels or committees or anything worked. But I think we've got a decent enough handle on it now, Johannes, right?
Sure. Yeah.
70%.
Yeah, I would go with that. I would just say in general that anyone who's involved in training is going to be there because they enjoy helping trainees. They enjoy being part of that process of building you up and helping you with that journey. So you shouldn't ever be afraid of speaking to someone who might seem to be in a senior position, because you know they will recognize the position you're in. They'll be in their position because they want to help you. So obviously, you know, use the hierarchy, use your WhatsApp groups for your local scheme first, but don't be afraid of contacting people in higher positions if it's appropriate.
Yeah, it's always important to remember that by and large GPs are all pretty nice people, and as Johannes says, people who get into education roles are there because that's something that they're passionate about, and so yeah, definitely don't be afraid to seek support from those people. They've all been where you are, and they're there to help support you if you need to go to them for anything. I think in terms of like happy memories from the last 4 years, there's one that I did want to mention, and Hatim was there for this as well, was the RCGP annual conference in Glasgow last year. No, why am I even saying Glasgow? It was meant to be in Glasgow this year, in Liverpool. This shows what a good time that we had. I can't even remember where it was. but I think, you know, coming back to that kind of sense of community, the things like the RCGP annual conference were just really incredible. I had such a great experience last year getting to meet trainees from around the country who I don't necessarily get to see all that often, like AIT reps, getting to see loads of friends, getting to present a few sessions, and getting to meet loads of kind of post-CCT GPs at various career stages who I'd met on Twitter or seen on various other social media platforms. And it was just I think that brings together GPs who are really, really interested in that community sense. And I think as a trainee, you have a great opportunity to go to events like that. You can use like your study budget, study leave. So I definitely recommend making the most of those kind of opportunities as well.
Yeah, and just a quick note on study budgets. There is no cap now for trainees who are on GP placements versus hospital placements. And I think that's a really important thing to point out to trainees, is that you have that budget. There are a list of pre-approved courses, but there are also courses outside of that you can apply for and get funding for. And it's really important that as GP trainees that you look on sort of career development and professional development and look at all those other opportunities that are out there for you. And I'm sure we can cover this in more depth another time. But remember, use your study budgets.
I guess in terms of joining training now, I think in the next few weeks, as you get used to everything, it's going to be definitely a lot of adjustment and getting used to new roles, getting to know people in your new training schemes, and hopefully throughout this month of August you're going to take part in all of the different activity we've got running as part of Celebrate. There's going to be loads of videos, there's going to be webinars that I hope you join us so that you can ask questions that you might have about training to current GP trainees at all different ST levels. And I think that we really want to use this month to provide a really warm welcome to all of you and a chance to meet and connect with other trainees in your local area and further afield at all different stages of training. Because I do think, as we've kind of all spoken about in this, that sense of community is one of the most important parts of being a GP, and is one of the nicest parts as well. And so being able to develop that early on, I hope will be something that really benefits all of you who are listening to this.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess maybe to round off, it would be nice, what would everyone sort of one piece of advice be for those who are starting training in August? Anthony, if I go to you.
My piece of advice would be, particularly when you're starting out, just two things. Take it slow. So you're just getting used to everything. There's no rush to do anything in your first year. Mm-hmm. It was all about just getting used to a different training program, building relationships with new friends and colleagues. So definitely just take the time to invest in doing that really important part of GP training. And then the second one, I think, is again a similar in that, yes, time is, GP training is quite short, but the first couple of years is all about just getting into the groove of things. So don't feel under pressure to do anything too early. Don't kind of rush yourself into thinking I need to be doing, X, Y, and Z to get a job after training. I think it's really important to use this time to learn about GP training, but also to use some of the flexibility that comes with GP training to learn about yourself, about your passions, and to make the most of those opportunities that you have outside of the consulting room as well.
I mean, you might have stolen other people's ideas too, but yeah. What about your piece of advice?
Yeah, I would definitely echo not rushing into things. I think what I'd recommend is just kind of in a very gentle way, just networking, speak to the people around you, speak to the other trainees on your VTS scheme, just get an idea. People have such a diverse range of interests and pursuits within GP. And outside GP, that it's a really good idea just to find out what everyone's experience is, and then start to piece together what your future might look like, and what interests you might want to pick up. But I think, yeah, in your ST1 year, it's definitely about grounding yourself and just getting a feel for things. I wouldn't feel any pressure.
Yeah, nicely said, Johannes. How about you, Hatim?
I think one of the top tips that I was given is remember that you're a GP trainee, so that in the job that you're in, make sure what you're taking out of that job is going to help you be a good GP. And because you can often be lost in hospital placements, and there's a lot of service provision, but try and, make sure you're getting the opportunities you need from that placement that's going to, help you in the future, because you're not an F1 or an F2 anymore. You're here in a specific training program in general practice. So for example, if you're in pediatrics, if you want to get to clinics, if you want to get to a community clinic, that sort of thing, that's going to help you as a GP, do that. If you're in geriatrics and you want to do a frailty clinic or a general medicine clinic, general elderly care clinic, that's going to help you again. Make sure you get those opportunities. So those are that's pretty much my top tip if you're in a hospital job in particular.
Yeah, I think I agree with what everybody said. I suppose my top tip is enjoy it. I think time goes so quickly. We never really know what's around the corner, especially with this pandemic that none of us really expected would change our working lives so significantly. We're in a privileged position to be GP trainees. And whilst it can sometimes be really tough and really difficult, we hopefully have the support of your communities and your friends and family around you. Enjoy your year and make some good memories.
Mate, brilliant words to end this episode on, I think. Definitely do just enjoy it. And as we say, throughout this month, there's going to be loads of additional content, ways for you to learn about things that you want to know about GP training. The next episode that we do of this podcast will be some more kind of specific top tips, things you wish that we wish we'd known before starting out in GP training. So we can discuss things around the portfolio, exams, other opportunities, and much, much more. In addition, there's going to be events, as we say, online, which you can sign up for or tune into across social media platforms. You'll be receiving emails throughout the month to kind of give you an update on what's happening that week. So do keep checking your inboxes, and hopefully we'll see you all for the next episode of this podcast and for many of those events as well during the Celebrate month in August. To close off this week's edition of the podcast, we're going to play a poem, which is These Are the Hands, which is a poem written for the NHS by Michael Rosen. And we will see you next time for another episode of Somewhere in Between.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
This is for the NHS. These are the hands that touch us first. Feel your head, find the pulse, and make your bed. These are the hands that tap your back, test the skin, hold your arm, wheel the bin, change the bulb, fix the drip, pour the jug, replace your hip. These are the hands that fill the bath, mop the floor, flick the switch, soothe the sore, burn the swabs, give us a jab, throw out sharps, design the lab. And these are the hands that stop the leaks, empty the pan, wipe the pipes, carry the can, clamp the veins, make the cast, log the dose, and touch us last.
Yeah, sorry, I had to cut my answer short because Dobby started gently barking, reminding me it was my answer, like, going off. So I'm muting it and screaming Sanja's name, being like, sort this out.